Hello, this is David Brim, and I'm the founder of Orlando Entrepreneurs. We are the hub for Orlando entrepreneurship, and our mission is to connect, cultivate, and celebrate our local entrepreneurs. We bring together our local entrepreneurial ecosystem to help impact our entrepreneurs, their companies, and our local economy. Learn more at OrlandoEntrepreneurs.org. Now over to Josh Wilson to get forward with our show.
Good day, Orlando entrepreneurs. My name is Josh, and welcome to the Orlando Entrepreneurs Show. In this show, I travel around and I have conversations with founders here in Orlando and those who support the entrepreneurial community to give them a voice, give them a platform, and to give major exposure to what's the incredible businesses that are being built here in Orlando, Florida. So I'm really excited to have a conversation today with Cesar and Alfonso. They are the CEO and co-founder and COO and founder of an edtech company called Leap with Alice. Cesar, Alfonso, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Josh. Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So people listening in the audience, there's two founders that we're going to have a conversation with. I'll have them introduce themselves and say their names, so that way when they speak, you'll be able to hear who's saying what. So why don't we start with you, Cesar?
Excellent. Just a serial entrepreneur here in Orlando, Florida, that found out about Leap with Alice here last year. It was a company was originally founded in January of 2017. I joined the team in October of last year, and after they ran a study with UCF and us releasing on Demo Day, Starter Studio, here we are today getting ready for our big private sale for our pre-ICO on blockchain. I'm sure you're hearing all this and you're wondering, wow, there's so much here that you just covered in like three sentences. But I want to definitely touch on that and just how we came together as a community and leverage the resources of the local university along with the town itself, because the town of Orlando has so many resources to make this possible, especially when you're talking about blockchain. Blockchain is the new buzzword on the internet, and that's really what we want to educate people with, is that blockchain doesn't just have to be about cryptocurrency. Blockchain offers so many other benefits.
You want to add something?
I mean, exactly talking about what we're doing here, we're just trying to really change up the game when it comes to education. We're using something like blockchain and crypto to really be that incentivization point to really help out in that process and that journey.
Awesome. So the first person that you heard, that was Cesar. These are incredible people. They have these huge smiles. They're on the campus at UCF. That's their headquarters here in Orlando, Florida. And the second person you heard is Alfonso. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask them each questions to unravel what is EdTech, what is an ICO, and what the heck is this blockchain that is on every single newsfeed that you guys see as you open up your phones. So let's start with Cesar. Cesar, could you describe what EdTech is?
So the educational technology landscape that's evolving right now involves pretty much anything that really merges those two practices. Education is something that's been in the spotlight now for, I want to say, at least the last couple of years, but more so this year than ever. That campaign Red for Ed was something that really put a spotlight on how educators just, they're not getting compensated adequately for their efforts, especially in training the future. And then you mix technology, how it's supposed to make life a little bit easier. EdTech really is supposed to be the convergence of those two paradigms and how they can best work together to kind of really move the culture forward, move the society that we're in. So what we did is we partnered up with the University of Central Florida for two reasons. They offer a wonderful educational background with the Tony Jennings Institute of Exceptional Education. On top of that, they have a wonderful research and development facility. So after the guys went ahead and did their study last summer, we went back this January, talked to UCF, started off with a small sponsorship, and we're now officially partnered with the University of Central Florida. Our headquarters are out of UCF. So if you ask me, what is EdTech? EdTech is exactly this, where you marry the two in the best way possible so that educators are being heralded and really moved forward with and through technology. What do you want to put on?
That was a motivating.
Yeah.
Great.
This is good. Okay. So, Alfonso, you guys have taken education and compiled it in leveraging technology to help create an impact to the community. So can you explain how and what Leap with Alice, because that's the name of your company, what is Leap with Alice, and how do you guys leverage technology to better educate people?
So there's a lot to it, and I'll try and keep it pretty high level so it doesn't get too sticky there. But essentially, we're an ed tech startup, and that's at the core of everything. Ultimately, we're a company trying to make a difference in that realm, and Caesar touched up on what ed tech really means to us. It's about that community and that building up of education and what it can be in the future. So what are we trying to do using this technology to really reimagine it? Well, it's a bit multifaceted. We're using technology to give consumers, whether it's educators, students, or anyone who just wants to create a free creation suite coming out later this year when we do our sale. And the point of this is to actually use this technology to give an easy platform for anyone to go and somewhat like a Snapchat, or you could think of Adobe, just simple drag and drop features you might use to actually make content. So in what we're doing, we're going to be giving people the ability to create lesson plans and augmenting them using augmented reality. And for anyone who is a little bit unaware of augmented reality, I know that's a lot of people nowadays, but you can get a simple piece of paper and make it come to life. For instance, one example we have is something called a SightWord Cube. And on this cube, you're able to point your device at it. And when you point it at the word jump, you see Alice, the character, come on that piece of paper and start jumping up and down, up and down. So we're using technology to really get people engaged and immersed into what education is. Now, with that and with what we're going to do in the future, we're also going to allow people to have an exchange moving forward. And in this exchange, we're going to be using cryptocurrency to incentivize people to make this platform even better day by day, incentivizing them for reviews, ratings, curating really high quality content that matters and is important to educators out there. So that really goes now to the technology we were talking about. It goes into cryptocurrency a little more, right? And I know you were referencing about ICOs in the past and whatnot, but to go high level on cryptocurrency, we're going to be using something called tokens. And there's really two types of tokens. A token that's a utility and a token that's a security. Now, the security is something that we're going to use to really get funding for the company, sell off tokens for that, so it's seen as equity in that way. While we're going to use a utility token to actually be the reason for the actual utilization of the platform, we're going to be able to incentivize with those tokens and give people actual value for the actual participation in the platform.
Wow. Okay. So let me make sure I understand this and our audience understands it, because this is very interesting and it's very complex and very intriguing. So you guys have developed this technology that allows people to create content in order to help educate their audience. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So then you guys have added a few motivational levers to help actually incentivize people to educate and to learn.
Absolutely. And to go to that point, we're incentivizing not only to get them on the platform, but it's really to speak on Caesar's point about EdTech and what it is. By incentivizing, we're building up a community. We're building up a community of educators and saying that education doesn't stop in the classroom anymore. It can be done anywhere, in any setting, at any time, by anyone. And that's a really important factor here.
Also, if I could chime in, Josh, this is for the listeners out there, I really want to make sure that we separate the aspect of, you know, blockchain and cryptocurrency. Those are two completely different mm-hmm. paradigms. And then you have to understand that the AR aspect and the aspect of this EdTech software that we're offering, again, are two different aspects. At the end of the day, we are EdTech software. We created a creation suite that allows teachers, as quickly as Snapchat, to take a picture of a lesson plan, select what on there is a target, and through that drag and drop, like Alfonso said, feature, they're able to augment those sections, and the students are able to see this in real time come to life. So the creation suite alone is our secret sauce on how disruptive it is. What we did, because of security reasons, is through the immutability of blockchain, we leveraged taking the technology onto the blockchain to protect our users' data. Then on top of that, since we are opening up an exchange next year to the platform where educators will be able to sell their lesson plans on this marketplace, aka the Alice Exchange, they will now be protected. Think of it like copywriting. Mm-hmm. So these blocks on the blockchain, for those listeners out there that don't know what it's about, the blockchain is really just this global movement going on right now that's a computer-to-computer network that no longer is centralized, so you won't get a direct hit. You'd have to attack all the computers at the same time. So right there, you have that security aspect. On top of that, there's a copyright aspect so that educators get their material. The lesson plans they used their imagination to create with this creative tool that we've created. That's a lot of creations right there. That's a lot of creativeness. Wow, too many times. But it's a software at the end of the day that is, look at it like PowerPoint. You know, PowerPoint offers some templates, but at the end of the day, from the bottom up, you can create your own PowerPoint. You can do whatever you want to do. What would the Alice program, the Alice Creation Suite, do exactly that? Our ease of use, our UI, UX, really that sets us apart. We're using the cryptocurrency side of it, gamify the experience. Gamification on this platform is really going to change how this moves forward. When you look at our competitors like Teachers Pay Teachers and Teachers Notebooks, you're going to see that they created overnight millionaires. There was articles written on this last summer that they created overnight millionaires. And the problem here, though, is that big academias, big institutions don't like these organizations because of the plagiarism going on, going to conferences and taking this material and then putting it on marketplaces where they're actually making a buck off of someone else's efforts. The blockchain curtails that. On top of this, we are incentivizing the users on the platform for good reviews, for being a good participant. Sign in often and you write good reviews, you're going to get a token. Now you're going to think to yourself, I just want to pay in cash, buy my lesson plans in cash, and just do everything in cash. I don't want anything to do with blockchain or crypto. Well, we offer that option too. So what's really cool is that we're introducing a completely new population into the blockchain crypto world in the most subtle, soft approach we can. We don't want to just abruptly push people into this. We want to show them that, look, there's a way to marry both of these paradigms into one beautiful, just well-executed plan. And that's what we're doing. That's really what we've been doing. This Tuesday, we launched our private pre-sale, which is huge because it's we closed our seed round. We moving into the private pre-sale just basically means we're going global. And that's the thing in the ICO cryptocurrency blockchain world. Instead of releasing a product to a local or national level, you're releasing it on a global front. And considering that our technology is not hardware limited, going to be pretty much used everywhere and all around the world. And that's what we're looking forward to.
Wow. All right. So I have a bunch of questions and I know the audience is like eager to learn more. Give me some examples of, you know, lessons that could be learned through augmented reality, which is AR or AI. Maybe you guys could go into AI a little bit, but give me some ideas of some lessons or things that students can learn from using your technology.
Mm-hmm. Well, first I'll cover up with the lesson plans. I mean, that's where creativity is really your only limitation. If we offer them a creation suite, and to talk about the complexity in the way I answered the previous question versus the way Caesar approached it, I think you can kind of see there is a complexity behind all this, but the presentation is meant to be very simplistic. And in doing it this way, in saying that it could be as much as the creativity of the user, that's really the importance. By having the creation suite the way we have it, it's going to be simple drag and drops. So for instance, one example that we actually have currently on our site, if anyone downloads the demo application, they'll be able to download a set of targets right there. For instance, they'll be able to use something like our space worksheet. They'll be able to point their phone or device, whatever it may be, at this target and see actual Neptune pop up, facts come out of it, and then button to links that'll actually help them answer the questions on that worksheet. So imagine that a simple piece of paper that was just simple questions for a classroom now became engaging, now offered you other pieces of information and useful guidance, and now it became a whole different experience. Beyond that, though, if you want to talk about the limitations here, how far we can really go higher, and you want to talk about AI and machine learning, that's where things get really cool out here. And honestly, when we use something like AI, you can look at a company like Google and how they recently announced their assistant, right? And in their new assistant, the voice sounds so human-like. It's like you're having a conversation, me and you right now. But then beyond that, imagine that in our platform where Alice is actually speaking to you, guiding you and helping you throughout everything you're doing. If a student is struggling and we can notice those signs, asking the question of, are you struggling? Do you need help? And then giving them those advantages to help them out. So that's really where it all comes into play here.
You know, and I want to chime in just because this is a fun part of the conversation. It really is. This is, so the coolest thing is when you see a child go through a multimodal form of learning, which is really called multisensory, if you want to, you know, put it a little bit more in layman's terms. But imagine a child that's learning about, you know, like he said, the Neptune solar system, let's say, and you get to learn about the layers of Neptune. You get to, you know, follow along, but now you see how Neptune gets reintroduced into the solar system, and it keeps working and moving in the solar system. So we have this lesson plan online. Our demo is available on iOS and the Android Apple Play Store. I'm sorry, Google Play Store. Yeah. But I can tell you this. The beautiful part is that, like the big players, we won't be content providers. We'll provide the templates. Yep. We have a few relationships that we've established with a few publishing firms that will be offering augmented books and material, but realistically, we're putting the power of creativity in the hands of educators. And this is the cool part. We're loosely defining the word educator, because imagine that student in ninth grade that's going to be using this technology for their science fair. And here the educator walks up to the child's at the science fair, a trifold board, and all it has is just targets on there, just a bunch of just random stickers in random places. Educator's going to look at them and say, well, what's this? Now they hand them the phone and say, now look at this through my phone or through a tablet. And now it all comes to life. That volcano that erupts provides you information. Someone comes out and talks to you. And all this was created with this creative suite. So we like to say that we loosely define educators, because we believe the students are going to be as much the educators to the populace as the educators themselves, the teachers themselves. You know, there's 3.1 million teachers in America, and there are 69 million currently public school students. We believe that that's where the opportunity is going to come in, putting something that allows creativity to life through augmented reality and AI.
It's preaching right now.
Well, this is fun, because the future of technology, you know, we have to see technology being applied in the classrooms, because I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 1-year-old son. So the education that I had is becoming irrelevant, and the education that my daughter will need to learn and my son will need to learn to stay competitive and to be valuable in the future, the technology has to keep up with that for them to learn, right? So this is really exciting. So my daughter, after going to preschool, can grab a phone, download the demo, and she could point it at a you guys call it a target.
Yep.
And she could see Neptune come alive on a phone and educate her on the solar system.
Yep.
And the coolest thing about this is that this is on our website right now. So if you want to look at a lesson plan right now, go and download it. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. After you've downloaded it, point that to our website. Watch the website come to life as well. Yeah. We call them targets, but realistically, they're lesson plans, because we want them to be educational material. But realistically, it's whatever you want to make it.
And I mean, you're describing really our mission right now. You're talking about your own kids. And you were talking about the resources that are available right now. You can go on Wikipedia, you can go on YouTube, but can you verify the quality of that content? You really can't. And through our use of the blockchain and the integrity of each kind of educational piece that are put out there, we're going to ensure that it's high quality content for these people.
Wow. So this sounds disruptive. Who would you say? This is, or what is this disrupting the most? Like, what industry, what section, where is this causing the biggest threat or disruption?
For me, it's education, of course.
And you know what? For me, it's education as well. And the reason why I'm saying education is because right now it's starting in the K-12 level, but it's only our entrance into education. As education goes beyond K-12, once you go into academia, you're talking about your higher, you know, undergrads and grads, and then you talk about the HR departments and enterprises and companies out there. So education even falls into when you're training a new employee at work. So we focus on unique abilities. They used to call them learning disabilities, but we're here at the Tony Jennings Institute. And unique abilities is the best way to define it, because just because, you know, I'll give away a little secret here. I was born with dyslexia, and I didn't realize I had dyslexia until later. And I just thought that I wasn't as smart as the people around me. If I would have known that I needed a multisensory environment to engage my abilities, I would have probably had an easier time through school. It wasn't until I was like 19 years old that someone, you know, you're not ADD, you're just dyslexic. You know, going to a doctor, getting that verified over the years, hearing it over and over, you know, all you get to realize is, you know, that doesn't make me a bad person. That doesn't make me a person that doesn't learn as well as the next guy. It just means I have to learn and do things a different way through a unique approach. The more we begin to understand how the mind can interpret and digest information, the more we're actually disrupting the education sector. And that's why we've attached to ourselves to the Tony Jennings Institute, is because we wanted to show efficacy of the program before it ever even hit the market. Like any startup, you know, the market's going to define you. But, you know, if we know that a child has a 300% increase, which those are the numbers, in a learning environment that involves augmented reality, then you throw in the fact that because that educator went out of their way to augment this lesson plan, through that imaginative, creative approach, they're going to now get incentivized for it. If they sell it on our marketplace, all these business models, all these things, you know, we haven't really invented anything new, but we Frankensteined it in the best possible way. The variables here are blockchain, augmented reality, the creative suite for educators. I mean, it's amazing. I'm probably rambling now. I'm probably rambling. I love this. You have no idea how the fun this is.
I mean, if you look at everything he's saying right now, it all is truly defining our business structure, what we're trying to provide to the public, right? And if we look at the most disruptive thing about all of this is that all of these pieces are being put together, but to be given to the public, to let them create and let them put it out there.
Josh, you got to hear this. It's all free. That's the cool part. Talk about disruption. The creative suite coming out in October, free. You want to sell on our platform? Free. You want to make comments and add value to the community? Mm-hmm. Excellent. We'll incentivize you with the token. Free. So at the end of the day, breaking down the barrier to entry, breaking down that red tape that education and school boards do and provide, guess what? We went and figured it out. I told you, we haven't invented anything new. We just figured out how to leverage the variables out in the community to actually return this favor, return the resource back to the community. Cryptocurrency does not get used to incentivize educators. Mm-hmm. Cryptocurrency does not get used to incentivize good content. Well, guess what? That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And how do you spread that to everyone you can? You go a model more like Facebook or Twitter, where you give the power to the people to create and provide the value of that platform.
Okay. So this brings up a question. Can you guys hear me okay?
All right, so
we're back. Sorry, guys. I had a little technical difficulty. So this brings up an interesting question. How do you maintain quality of education when you open source and give it to the people? So people like me, if I went to create a lesson on astrophysics, I don't know what the heck I'm talking about in it. But how could we make sure that my daughter or students are actually learning the correct material?
Okay, so this is a great question. Woo. And this is why we've met up so many times with the people here at UCF. We've been so lucky and fortunate to have here. One example here is Dr. Trey Vasquez here at the Tony Jennings Institute, specifically here at UCF. And with them, we basically determined this group, this panel, essentially this board of educators from many different fields are gonna help us in understanding what good quality content is. Moving forward to the future, that you brought up AI a little bit earlier. AI and machine learning, along with these people that understand true education, can add actual context and emotion and understanding behind it. You marry those two together, and the future of what we're trying to do here is endless. The quality content will be ensured in that future. And then you add that and put it together with blockchain technology, so you can always make sure that none of this content is being reused by someone else who doesn't actually own it. Now you really have a good piece that ensures quality content that is derived from the right people.
And if I can add, Josh, this is really, and I want you definitely to hear this, and the listeners especially, there's gonna be a three-tier process. It's already in the works. We're working with administration here at UCF. We've had all the meetings. We have the names down of the top educators in the five areas of study, and there will be a three-tier system. Tier one involves the community. The community gets incentivized through our token. It's a utility token. Just to let also the viewers know, we are actually a hybrid model of both a utility and a security offering. But through the utility side, that tier one, they get incentivized for declaring good content, writing good reviews, and being good participants on the platform. Tier two is a review board if something gets flagged and, you know, maybe a little bit more attention. So these are the doctors and the administrators that want to get incentivized, maybe a little bit more. They're more attached. They become the ambassadors of the company. And then tier three is when something has been flagged for a major review process. Is this lesson teaching that we're living on a flat earth or a round earth? We want to make sure that we're teaching quality, real lessons, you know?
Got it. So just like when people open up their phone and go to Amazon to buy a t-shirt, they see reviews there and they get to see stars or something where they can say, well, if 30,000 people gave this a 5-star review, it's probably much better than the 1-star review with a bunch of angry faces and emojis, right? So you guys are kind of letting the people vote on this, but then also giving it an ability for higher educators to say, ah, maybe you need to tweak this or improve this. This may not be accurate. So there's kind of a multiple check system to ensure quality.
And I want to throw in there that the review rating system of companies like Amazon, that's a good example. You know, they're a little skewed right now. Think about these manufacturers that go to people to write these fake bogus reviews on items. That won't happen on the Alice Exchange. Why? Because through blockchain and through the incentivization and gamification of the experience, we've been able to figure out, and it's already been tested and proven, that you will get quality content if you incentivize a person to do something. It's basically the behaviorist's approach to a review model. And that really in itself is its own disruptor, disrupting the review model. The general public right now doesn't understand how, you know, just because it's on Amazon, you can get it tomorrow and it's got 30,000 reviews, you know, man, I gotta go get it. It doesn't mean that you're going to get quality per se. But now if you know that there's an internal review board, a community review board, you know, an incentivization program for good quality, you're going to find those people that are going to definitely be looking at the content with a fine-tooth comb.
Wow. So, I mean, guys, this is really exciting. And, you know, in your headquarters, you know, like I got to see the team of people, the smart people that are working on this. How did you two start this, and how did you guys get connected? Could you tell us the origin
story? You tell one half, I'll tell the other.
Okay. So I started with the previous venture as well, and really in that venture we were really focused on augmented reality, and that was our focus, and that's where I became so passionate about it. And that's really where my background comes in. I love technology, I love augmented reality, and I love what it can be for society instead of just the gimmicky way it may be viewed now. In moving forward to that approach, like you mentioned prior, we came to UCF, we did a study here, but at that time, Alice was just a product of our company. Later on, as we decided to branch out and make something bigger, we met around September, October timeframe, and came into the company, and he was amazing. He was direction to the power we pushed. He understood way beyond what I had understood at that point, and now when he came in the company.
So October, I come into the company. Guys, I had spoken with his partner over the summer prior to that, and you know, I see this beautiful technology, and I'm telling him, you know what, can we branch it off? Can we make it its own company? What do we do? There in October, we pretty much created a demo, the alpha build. We worked with Starter Studio and Pandera Systems to have a demo day, and it was amazing because that's exactly what happened. We got to showcase the technology to the community. Pandera Systems, through the Orlando Tech and Beer Association, donated $10,000 to the project. It really moved us in regards to, well, we have a winner here. Let's move forward with it. Come November, we're meeting with investors from Silicon Valley, the Mavir Group, and they basically tell us, look, you kind of get blockchain. We see what you're doing here, but why don't you run your own initial coin offering? We, of course, we balked at the idea. We said, well, why would we need our own crypto? We probably can leverage an Ethereum token.
It was so out there.
Oh, it was. My gosh. Thinking that we're going to get funded through a global community for something that we're just trying to launch on a local level. And this investor group said, look, we can help you raise $2 million or we can help you raise $200 million. It's really how far you want to take this dream and how big, you know, you guys want to make this. So, you know, sitting there with Alfonso and the rest of the team and kind of discussing this, really decided, okay, you know what, let's give this a shot. Come December, we start writing the white paper. January, we established the partnerships, the sponsorship at the time with UCF. And really, it has just snowballed into this amazing project that you guys are hearing about today. I want to throw in there that one of our biggest goals, and we can't wait to do this because now that we've closed our funding rounds and everything, is at the one-year marker in this October, we'll be launching the Creative Suite. We'll be launching the public initial coin offering, the public ICO sale. But we also want to rejoin with Pandera Systems and the Orlando Tech and Beer Association to give back. So we will be contributing. We'll actually be giving a donation back to OTAB so that they can turn around and continue to infuse the community like they helped infuse us, so that we can kind of pay it forward. And I think internally we've already discussed that they gave us $10,000 to make this dream happen. We want to give them $25,000 to keep making dreams happen around the community.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, I'm a huge fan of all those organizations that you mentioned. OTAB is really incredible. So for those listening in, OTAB stands for Orlando Tech and Beer, and it's a meetup that people get together, technologists and people who are excited about the industry and excited about Orlando and excited about beer, come together and talk about these kind of technologies. It's really awesome event. If you don't know about it, we'll include this in the links, but I encourage you to check it out. So back to you, Cesar and Alfonso. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about funding, okay? So I know a lot of entrepreneurs are out there going, well, you know, I want to build this, but I have no money, or, you know, my money's limited, my resources are limited. How did you guys approach funding? And talk to us about maybe some advice or some wisdom that you have captured and learned from the funding process, and maybe even the new ways of funding, like you mentioned, ICO.
I think that funding is one of the biggest hurdles that entrepreneurs have to go through and endure. And I can honestly tell you, I've had about 10 failed businesses prior to actually having two that were successful later on that, you know, till this day are still paying dividends. But my gosh, you know, it's very humbling to understand that, you know, failure is going to happen. So hurry up, fail fast. You always hear that. But we went going through the traditional route of just looking for investors, joining angel lists, talking to VCs. I'm going to tell you this, for anyone listening, the more you get involved with your local resources, your community, the more you get involved with the community in general, the more you will have opportunity exposed to you. And I think that that's how opportunity was discovered on our end. When we figured out that, okay, we could get $1 million for a project that, you know, round two, they tell us you'll get another $1 million. Woohoo, we got $2 million. It took 2 years and we kept it local, or work towards, you know, taking it to a global front. So as an entrepreneur, you have to ask yourself, how big and how ready am I to take the project? I got to tell you that our fear to move forward with going global was, would we have capacity? Would we have the bandwidth to be able to move on a global front? That's why, again, getting back into the community, leveraging the University of Central Florida, the brilliant minds here, most of the staff here at UCF, comes from universities all around America. They don't hire their alumni for that same reason. They don't want to go ahead and toot their own horn. They want to show that they have a diverse offering to the public. So in leveraging that, showing that our proof of concept. So if any entrepreneur is listening and is having a hard time figuring out where to get money, you know, don't go and run out there and try to do an ICO that easily. You know, you're going to get vetted and put through the ringer. And we definitely have. Make sure you have your SWOT analysis, business plans, and pro formas ready. But I'll tell you this. Make partnerships with the communities that best align with what your product is offering. Because if you want to talk about opportunity, if you want to talk about the types of risks you're about to endure, you will mitigate a lot of these things and increase opportunity like crazy. If you really do partner and find the people that just believe in what you are doing through the community that you are supporting, that you're feeding.
No, and Cesar brings up a really valuable point there, because we're talking about funding right now. Every place you go to, and we can talk about specifically now for a moment, every place anyone goes, whether it's a pitch night, a demo day, a 1 million cups, wherever it is, the same conversation is always brought up continually. How does a company fund themselves? And more specifically, in a place like Orlando, when were viewed in a certain light compared to somewhere like a Silicon Valley. I mean, it happens every single place you go entrepreneurial-wise here. But why not be, why are we resting on our laurels here? Why are we not going out there for alternative solutions on how we could do this? Now, to Caesar's point, the main way we got to this round of ICO and being able to be vetted is because we made so many connections within this community. There are so many amazing people in so many different facets and walks of life out here that they can contribute, and you can help them back in the same exact way. OTAB was a great example we all brought up. They helped us, and we're hoping to contribute back to them so they can continually give back to the community. So if you are prepared, if you are ready to go for a funding route, why not look at an ICO if you're properly prepared and make it a solution for the future? Because when you go around like this, looking business-wise now, going a route where you have a token, now it becomes global in that sense. Maybe you're not approaching it globally as far as what you're going to put out content-wise, but funding-wise, you make it more global. And that's where you look at investors and people who are going to invest in your company. That's a struggle we have right now in Orlando. We're all looking for investors that are Orlando local or are coming from Silicon Valley. Why are we stopping there? Why not be in regulation with the SEC and the IRS and try and fund from all these different places, from people who value you all over the world? And you can portray that understanding of your value to anyone around the world. Don't limit it to here. We can do a lot more to expand ourselves. It's just a matter of us doing the work and putting the due diligence into making it happen.
And I want to showcase a few shout outs to the big guys in the community that, you know, when you look at Luminar coming from Silicon Valley, when you look at what Fat Merchant did, when you look at what these local companies have become local heroes, and they don't want to go, YuniKey, $1 billion
yes.
company, but they don't want to go anywhere. They want to be here in Orlando. Why? Because technology, emerging tech, there's so many resources here in Orlando. Again, though, instead of chasing the money, instead of, as an entrepreneur, you thinking, I have to find a VC, I have to get in front of, you know, that guy that has the deep pockets. No, I'll tell you this, no. Find the community that best supports your idea, and I guarantee you, you will find that person that will not only invest in you, but will become part of your team. And that's what we've been blessed with.
Yes. Not one person we've reached out to in that regard that has been successful and come to Orlando to stay, not one of them has pushed us away or turned us away from advice, from help, and understanding.
Yeah, that is the power of community and building relationships with people in your backyard. You know, a lot of times we get stuck behind our computers, entrepreneurs or digital entrepreneurs or technology-driven entrepreneurs. We get stuck behind our computer, and you know, we don't step outside and go to events like OTAB. Or meet face to face with other founders. So I really admire you guys for doing that and getting out in the community and lifting up the community. So I really admire that as founders. Let me ask some partnership questions. So you guys are building, you know, Leap with Alice, and you're disrupting the education scene. You're putting the power in the hands of the people. You're giving people the ability to educate and learn in a whole new level. Now you guys are coming at this and doing this together. Give us some tips or advice on partnerships, because I think that scares a lot of entrepreneurs. Like, how much should I give away? Who does what? What have you guys found to be helpful?
So we can't even determine what numbers look like until we determine that person's the right fit. When it comes to me and Caesar, we have a whole amazing team of people here, co-founders, people who have come on board to this company, all these amazing people who add so much to it. But there's an understanding between Caesar and myself that we had to be each other's yin and yang. Every place where he fails at, I try and succeed at, and vice versa. I'm good in business, but he excels in it. He's great at technology, but I'm better at technology. But we're each other's help constantly. And being that for each other, that's the beginning of that conversation. It really isn't about the numbers, because the numbers, in all honesty, you'll be happy to go 50-50 with somebody as long as you truly understand the value you each bring. But beyond that, let's talk actual numbers.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, if you really have a vision and you really are passionate about your vision, there is a lot of money in the world.
Yes.
Please remove your ego from whatever you're building and truly follow that passion. I'm going to tell you this right now. Your ego will stop and hinder you. It will be your own barrier to entry. I'm telling you this right now. So as a team, since the very beginning, identifying value was a huge play of ours. We know what value we bring. We know what value each one of us has. But for anyone to join the team, know, we do equity share with anyone that we want to touch. You know why? Because that's the beauty part. That's a beautiful part of our business model, is that it's not so much ownership of the company as the value that individual is bringing to the company. Help me build a $100 million company. My 10% is way bigger than my 50% of a $2 million company. I'll tell you that right now. So,
I will credit this man right here. And I'm talking about where he excels in business. He taught me and this whole team a lot about value, because we've had a lot of people come in and out these doors really just trying to say, this is my skill, but we didn't really derive that value. Time became of the essence more and more day by day. And we decided how we're going to view this. And we decided as a group, we're going to view this as we're never good enough, but we always need to make progress every single day. We're literally in the car to 1 million cups at 7 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, asking each other, what are you doing today? Okay, why? How is that adding value to what audience, and what are you making have happen today? We have to do that every single day for this company to work.
I got to tell you, it sounds cheesy, but it's absolutely true. No, it's so true. Yeah. That ego removal factor has to occur.
We
have met some amazing people. But unfortunately, we haven't been able to work with them because they didn't want to bring their talents. They didn't want to actually showcase their unique abilities that they can contribute to the project, because their ego was demanding whatever it was demanding. And the beautiful part about it is if any of your listeners or yourself actually come to the university, walk around the university, get to see how we've impacted the university, you'll notice that though we're building a $100 million company, and I'm telling you this right now, keep watching, because there's big announcements coming, and this is why I'm saying this. Though we're building a $100 million company, we are no different than the CEO of Unikey, a billion-dollar company, who's still humble in the community, knows the value of a good team, value of community. That's all we want to keep promoting. Read the books. We know the models, and we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're just trying to go with the stuff that works.
You just keep pushing with healthy friction.
Oh,
and that was the advice of one of our great advisors, John Spurs. He kept pushing that on us, and it's something we really implemented in our company.
25-year Air Force colonel turned entrepreneur businessman.
He's impressive.
Oh, my gosh. Accredited investor. My neighbor, you know, lives two neighborhoods down from me. I mean, the guy is just, you know, we met him through the UCF Business Incubator 5 years ago. It's been a beautiful relationship, really. And I mean the relationship with the community, not just with John. I'm rambling.
Yeah. So what was the advice that he gave, and why was it so important?
Well, it really is just as simple as those two words, healthy friction. Because if you look into what that means, it goes into that. It doesn't need to be volatile and toxic when you go at each other. It doesn't mean you need to say, you're awful at what you're doing, this is not good enough. But it can be, hey, this is not the standard we want for our company. And he's talking about ego. You can't let your ego get in the way of that. If I'm his business partner and he's going to come at me and say, this is not good enough for what we're trying to do, I need to push my ego aside and say, is that valid? Is that true? And what's my standard that I'm holding this piece of content that I'm creating up to? It's really looking into that. So again, it's like the platform in a way. It's simplicity in the way it's portrayed to us. It's complex when you actually dive deep into what it really means.
You really stressed the fact of humility through confidence without an ego. And that's the statement right there. Humility through confidence. Because, you know, you meet an individual and you always judge a book by its cover. But if you actually care and you want to read the book, at least the prologue, you're going to figure out that, you know, maybe there's some humility. And once you realize, wow, this is confidence, it's not ego. To the listeners, the biggest thing that John, our advisor, taught us was identify the difference between confidence and ego. It'll pay dividends. It really will.
Yeah, that's incredible input. Where do you guys see your company going? So you mentioned $100 million. Let's put money aside. Okay. Where do you see your company going in the future? What do you see it impacting? Where do you see you guys 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
We want to get into emerging markets. We believe, and I'm going to use India for an example, the poverty level in India is ridiculous. The population's at 1 billion. Yet if you go into the most poverty-stricken communities there, they have $5 Google phones. And those little Google phones, you know, they download apps, they have the Google Play Store. But if we can leverage a technology, which is exactly what we've built, that's cloud-based, incentivizes and can even teach children. Again, we go beyond children, but it can teach anyone, even in an emerging country, a lesson. That in itself is our ultimate goal everywhere, including that emerging country that, you know, they don't have the funds to pay for an app. They don't have the funds to have higher education with technology to this degree. So realistically, 5 years from now, where do we see ourselves? We see ourselves in developing countries. We see ourselves in developed countries. We see ourselves as the engine that powers the new wave of education, really marrying technology and education the way that an edtech startup should be.
Yeah, and it's not BS when we say we're using a platform for a reason. It's because we can't be everything. We can't do everything. So putting it out there for every single company, talking global now, to have this tool and be able to create. I mean, I think it was Zach, one of our CCO of the company, brought up a great point. What about kids who are in other countries and don't really understand hygiene? And then they open this application and now they understand truly how to be safe and aware in the environments they're in. Now, that might not be something that we can provide because we don't understand those struggles. But provide that for the world and help that grow and grow and grow, that's the end goal here.
Man, this is incredible. All right, so as we're wrapping up this conversation that, you know, thankfully, we could capture it and share it with the community so they can, you know, be a part of this conversation. If people want to learn more about both of you or your team and learn more about your technology and your company, where could people find this information?
Definitely check us out. I'm telling you, we're on Facebook, we're everywhere. The website address, the URL is leapwithalice.io. If you just type into a Google search, Leap with Alice, that's L-E-A-P with Alice, they'll find everything. I think we're in the first three pages of a Google search. But definitely check us out on Facebook. Definitely check out our website. Our website showcases our beautiful team, our beautiful product, the white paper, and it has links to the app. And definitely download our app. You'll get a taste for what AR is all about.
And we definitely try to condense a lot of what we're speaking about here. If you do go to our website, you'll have a much deeper understanding. We explained everything there. Our token and our approach when using cryptocurrency, blockchain implements everything in AR as well. So definitely.
Yeah. I know another question is on everybody's head. Who's Alice? How did you guys come? I'm talking to Alfonso and Caesar. Who's Alice?
So Alice is an acronym, actually. Yep. And the acronym stands for A Leap in Creative Education.
I like that. A leap. I'm writing it down in creative education. So is there anything that I should have asked you that you think that you guys would like to talk about? Or is there anybody specifically you'd like to give a shout out to? I always want to leave that up to the guests. Like if I'm missing something, am I missing something?
I think this was great. We've had a few meetings, a few podcasts. This is one of the best ones we've done yet. I can tell you that as a community, we need to come together to make a platform like this go global. We're trying to put Orlando and Florida pretty much on the map for EdTech in itself. So as a community, if you could just check out our website. This Tuesday, we start our private pre-sale. If you know anything about the company, the technology, and you believe in educators, you believe in higher education, better education, definitely check us out. Starting today, it's an opportunity to get in and really just experience the Alice feel that we're bringing to the community.
Yeah, I would say definitely, cool. Say, like we were saying, go down to the bottom, and if you want to reach us, send us a message there or reach us through our email address. We want to connect with everyone in this community. We want to keep building up, and like we said, and Caesar mentioned prior, it's those connections we made in the community that kept pushing us higher and higher. But we don't want that to only be on our side. We want to be able to reciprocate that and make it both ways. So if anyone has any questions, especially on that private sale round, they don't even understand it, reach out to us. We'll be more than willing to talk and communicate.
Please be a friend or family. And Also, if you have questions as an entrepreneur And you just want some tips and tricks and advice and whatnot, we want.
All right, guys, I lost you for a moment. It looks like your internet paused. Hold on 1 second. I'm pausing the recording. I'm going to resume. So we're recording. So take a minute.
I really want the community to know that we are here for you. I have leveraged the community as much as possible to get us here. We're trying to give back to that same community that got us here. I want you listeners and yourself, Josh, to leverage us for everything that we've picked up. I think that we need to share our knowledge with each other. I think that working together goes beyond signed papers and founder statuses. No. A friend is really just anyone who you want to make it to be a friend. I have that motto that's kind of cliche-ish. I never met a stranger. So really just reach out. If you have any questions about entrepreneurship, startups, edtech, we're here. We're trying to make ourselves as available as possible.
I mean, definitely check us out. Go to our website, go to the bottom there, and you'll be able to email us, send us a message, or hit us up on one of our socials as well. But we're very eager to talk and help anyone out that we can. But beyond that, if you want to see us in person, we're going to be at OTA, I believe, Wednesday at around 6 o'clock, presenting there as well, the company and what we're trying to do here.
Yep.
So we're willing to communicate there as well.
Awesome. Well, Cesar, Alfonso, and the team of people that you have, the incredible team of people that you have in that room and sharing your message, I appreciate you guys coming on to Orlando Entrepreneurs, the show, and sharing very just generous your time and your knowledge. We're very excited about what you guys are doing here in Orlando.
Thank you, Josh. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity.
Definitely.
All right. So fellow entrepreneurs listening in on this interview, this conversation, being a part of this conversation, thank you for listening in on today's show. I encourage you to go to their site, download their examples, and get to see what augmented reality does to education and envision a future where you could leverage technology to teach your kids and to learn together as a community. So this has been a really fun episode. We've learned a lot ranging from EdTech, AI, ICO, blockchain, an incredible amount of knowledge poured into us. So I hope this was valuable to you guys. Please reach out to them if you have any questions and listen in on the next show of Orlando Entrepreneurs. Guys, have a lovely day. And we'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening in on today's episode. If you would like to be a guest on the show or start a conversation with me, Josh, your host, send me an email to josh@orlandoentrepreneurs.org. You can also find out more information on Orlando's entrepreneurial ecosystem, discover resources to help you start and grow your business, and subscribe to future shows by visiting www.orlandoentrepreneurs.org.